Now, access to healthcare remains a major challenge for many women and newborns living in remote and hard-to-reach parts of South Sudan. Long distance to health facilities, shortages of trained health workers, limited medical supplies and insecurity continue to affect the delivery of life-saving maternal and newborn services in many communities. Now, as South Sudan continues efforts to improve healthcare outcomes, attention is also turning to the minister's special initiative on maternal and newborn health, as well as discussions expected at the upcoming World Health Assembly. Now, to help us understand these efforts and the challenges on the ground, I am joined this morning by Dr. Pontius Bayo, technical advisor in charge of maternal and newborn health. Doctor, welcome. Well, Dr. Bayo, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Welcome to the Mirai Breakfast Show. Let's begin with what are the main challenges women and newborns face in accessing health services in hard-to-reach areas in the country?
Thank you, Juma, and thank you for the kind introduction. My name is, as you have said, Pontius Bayo. I work for WHO.
Mm.
Before I go to challenges, I think there are very good things that are happening in maternal newborn health in this country.
What are those?
That I think we should be, as a country, proud of talking about.
Hmm.
Maternal deaths, the rate at which mothers are dying in this country is not as high as it used to be a couple of years ago. I know we are the worst in the world, but now we are not. If you remember the figures, the maternal mortality ratio used to be reported as 1,223 per 100,000 live births. This has reduced to 692 deaths per 100,000 live births. I know there are people who doubt these figures,
mm-hmm.
but this country, the government has worked with the partners over the years. Midwives have been produced from different schools. Juba Teaching Hospital continues to produce doctors, and a few of them have gone outside of this country to specialize in maternal newborn health care.
Mm.
So we are doing better. The recent studies that were done by UNICEF and the Ministry of Health have indicated that many more women are delivering in the health facilities under skilled care. A lot of them are coming back for postnatal care. So these are good improvements.
Mm.
However, the figures still remain poor. We have issues with the accessibility,
mm-hmm.
geographical barriers, distance, economic barriers, and so on.
Mm.
We also have issues with the availability.
The availability of
health services in some communities. Communities are living very, very far from the available health facilities. So in that, also where there are available health facilities, sometimes health workers are not available. The commodities that are required are not available.
Mm.
Also, where the facilities are available, there might be quality challenges in terms of skills, regular supplies, and so on.
Mm.
And then there is also the challenge of acceptability by the communities themselves. We still have traditional beliefs in some cultures that a woman who delivers in a health facility is not a strong woman. We have those cultural challenges.
Mm.
So I can put this together. We have accessibility, availability, quality of care, and acceptability challenges.
Mm. Mm. And then let's talk about the minister's special initiative. What is it, and how is it expected to improve maternal and newborn health outcomes across the country?
So the minister's initiative, I should say, is an initiative to close what I want to term as an equity gap.
Mm-hmm.
You might know you live with your family in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And if tomorrow you as a family needed a maternal newborn care, you'll probably just drive for 5 minutes or 20 minutes and get to Juba Teaching Hospital,
mm-hmm.
which is really the biggest hospital in the country. Therefore, has a lot more services available. So you are probably with your family much better than somebody who is in, let's say, Kapeta East County,
mm-hmm.
in a deep Payam there. The distance he has to cover to reach the nearest health facility is a big one. And I would say structurally and systematically, you are better than that family that is in a deep Payam of Kapeta East. So the minister's initiative is trying to close that equity gap by taking services closer to the communities that are that hard to reach.
Mm.
And the ministry with the state ministries of health have selected for now two health facilities in each state and one in each administrative area to try to demonstrate that these communities that are hard to reach can be able to receive an equally quality care where they are located. So taking the services closer.
And how does WHO come in now with together with the ministry?
And WHO is just not alone, actually.
Mm.
We have other partners that we are working with.
Mm-hmm.
UNFPA, QAM, for example, in Lakes State. What now we are doing is to try and make sure there's continuity of care, antenatal care services, safe delivery, and postnatal care. And if there is emergency, then there should be very fast referrals that are taking place and taking care of an integrated service delivery, really.
Mm.
So this is being done through making sure essential commodities that are required for maternal newborn health care service delivery are available. We are building the capacity of health workers in making clinical decisions according to standards. We are trying to implement digital clinical care decision-making tool in health facilities so that even the lower cadre people, health workers in those facilities are enabled to make very standard clinical decisions.
Mm.
And this system also is going to help us when we connect that internet very well like that. We'll be able to do mentorships for these health workers virtually. And so this is how WHO and partners are supporting the ministry, and will improve health information systems that will help us to coordinate better and continuously improve quality of care.
What role do community health workers and local midwives play in improving maternal and newborn care in remote areas?
This is a very, very important sector of healthcare workers. We call them BOMA health workers in this country, as you might already know.
Mm.
And these community midwives, some in other countries, they call them traditional birth attendants. They are very, very important in linking the communities to the formal health system. They will be the ones, they are the ones identifying for us mothers who are pregnant and encouraging them to go and attend skilled antenatal care.
Mm.
And when time for delivery comes, encouraging them and sometimes escorting them actually to go and deliver from the health facilities.
Mm.
This enormously contributes towards improving the maternal and newborn health outcomes. So we want to continue to mentor them,
mm-hmm.
because they are playing a very important role.
You talked about the challenge of accessibility. Are there particular regions or states where the challenges are more severe?
I should say the differences are very, very little, I should say.
Mm.
However, we know that in this country there are communities, there are states that are always flooded. There are states where security challenges are a lot more compared to others. And then there are and there are no easy transport facilities to those communities. Upper Nile, for example, the greater Upper Nile region, for example. Mm. But we don't only focus on that kind of barrier in terms of accessibility. As I told you earlier on, there is social barriers that mm-hmm. challenge accessibility in a very great way. So when we're approaching this, we must be very holistic mm-hmm. and not just remain within the Ministry of Health, because we know there are other sectors within the government that can contribute towards improving accessibility to healthcare. For example, transport sector. I mean, it's not going to be the Ministry of Health constructing roads, for example. It's not going to be the Ministry of Health improving security in very many areas. It's not going to be the Ministry of Health addressing a lot of those social gender-based challenges that the country faces. So holistic approach, multi-sectoral collaboration.
I wanted us to talk about how important is it in investing in maternal and newborn health for the future of South Sudan. Why is it important to invest in maternal and newborn health?
Thank you, Juma, for that question. I think it is an opportunity for me to tell the communities in this country that women contribute enormously to the economic development. There are studies all over globally that show that when you invest $1 in women's health, you'll gain $3 in return. This is very, very enormous economic development, economic contribution. Because the women, when they stay healthy, they contribute towards the labor workforce. Mm-hmm. And when women are healthy in families, newborns survive, children grow healthy, and they do better in school. They advance further in education. So that is an intergenerational benefit that the country gets. But I think it's also very fundamental to mention that there is an equity value. For me, women's health should be considered as a capital investment instead of talking about it as a cost. So it is critical, and we must continue to advocate for women's health so that because they contribute to economic growth.
And let's shift to the World Health Assembly. What key messages or priorities will South Sudan take to the upcoming World Health Assembly regarding maternal and newborn health?
So the World Health Assembly is where the member states, they are going to gather, especially the ministers of health are going to gather there with key officials of the different ministries. It's taking place from 18th to 23rd of this month. Mm-hmm. In fact, the South Sudan delegation has already departed. We are not going to come there to lament on our challenges. Mm. We are coming to the World Health Assembly to share our practical experiences and also advocate for what we believe works, and we'll also be humble to learn from the rest of the countries that are there. But the key message that we are going to say, because in our country we know there are hard to reach areas, and from this minister's initiative we have learned a lot of lessons. We know taking maternal newborn services to the women where they are, where they're giving birth, is critical. Whatever approaches you use, that is where they are living, you go there. Number two, even when the places, the communities are hard to reach, we don't compromise on quality. We have to use the standard care, and that's why the digital care decision-making tool I talked about comes very, very critical. So we don't compromise on quality of care. And It's important also to mention that when systems are strengthened, when they are built properly, they enable health service delivery. So for us, these are the messages that we are going to be delivering in the World Health Assembly and advocate for a scale-up of this and of course, appeal to other governments that will be there to also share the experiences with us so that we learn and come back to scale.
Well, as we conclude, what more needs to be done by the government, partners and communities to reduce maternal and newborn deaths in the country?
We have everyone, I should say, everyone has a contribution to make. As I said earlier on, there are other sectors that need to contribute towards maternal health in their planning, in their budgeting, to make sure that whatever they are planning for, they have the women's health in their minds as well. For the communities, I really, really want to say that they have a role to play, to even in terms of planning, participate in health service delivery and ensuring accountability, making sure that the services that are being provided are of high quality. They should engage with the healthcare workers and also mobilize their communities to utilize the services. For the healthcare workers and the Ministry of Health, of course, I want to stress quality of care. It's not enough to invite mothers to come and deliver in the health facility, and you don't provide the quality of care that, because they will still die. And in the record, it will go that they have delivered in the health service, in the health facility. And yet they haven't actually received the quality of care that is required. So for them, for the Ministry of Health and the healthcare workers, I will emphasize that the quality of care must improve.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pontius Bayo, Technical Officer in Charge of Maternal and Newborn Health at the WHO, that's the World Health Organization. Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning about the challenges and efforts to improve healthcare services for mothers and newborns in hard-to-reach areas in South Sudan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.